This episode is brought to you by SD Sober Living. If you or someone you know needs a safe, supportive recovery home, then reach out to SD Sober Living at www.sdsoberliving.org or call 619-334-9869. That's 619-334-9869. Come get some fuck fentanyl and some San Diego recovery at SD Sober Living.
It's so funny how you hate my fucking guts, but at the same time love me. From the leakage to the gold to the lowrider bike, I always get you hated, but you know that you like. What you see is what you get, nothing more, nothing less. I'm killing, smoking chronic while you're choking on stress. Talking to the air, let me see you. Fuck you.
Yeah, fucking transplants. I'm Luis Romero, and I am the Fuck Fentanyl guy. This is the Fuck Fentanyl podcast. I got my homeboy right here, Rigel. What's up, dude?
Hey, man. What's going on?
Happy 420, by the way.
Yeah, happy
420,
dude.
Yeah. Are you a former stoner, sir?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a former everything.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah, man. I've known Rigel for a long, long time. We met in fucking rehab. We were at fucking Crash back in 2012. Rigel was there first. I remember that. I don't remember how long he was there for. You almost completed it, didn't you?
Almost.
Yeah, and then Rigel.
I sex played my way out.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. You sex played. I remember that was the final straw.
Yeah,
that was the final straw, and then so Rigel got out, and then I left shortly after, and then we both fucking relapsed. And then here we are now, both of us with some little bit of time now. I've always fucking appreciate Rigel, man. We like the same type of music and stuff like that. So I always fucked with Rigel like that. But I always appreciate Rigel's his honesty and his recovery. And you know, he's honestly has stepped up a lot, quite a lot this past couple of years, and I wanted to just kind of get a little bit of his whole life story. So where did it all start, Rigel?
When did it all start?
Yes, sir.
Let's see. Going back to the beginning, I grew up in the mean suburban streets of Poway,
California. Oh, the mean streets of Poway. Yes. Yeah,
mean streets.
Really mean, dude.
Poway, California, to a general contractor dad.
Okay.
And gun enthusiast.
That's, oh, really?
That's important later.
Sick.
On. Sick. My mother was a school teacher.
Oh, right on.
Right? And she was a well-known art teacher and activities director. So she did all kinds of like school dances.
Oh, really?
Like that. Pretty normal family. Mm-hmm. Suburban neighborhood. Like, oh, okay. A three-bedroom house.
You know, that's pretty impressive.
I had two older sisters. Both of them had moderate success, and I was diagnosed early with ADHD, and we tried to like combat it with medications, you know.
Oh, really? Like Adderall?
Like Adderall, Ritalin, stuff like that. I was actually on experimental medications when I was younger.
Oh, no fucking
just,
way.
Yeah, just trying to, because I was unruly as fuck. I was just a fucking...
I can't see that.
A fucking terror.
I can't
dude.
See that, dude.
That's weird. Yeah, I wasn't very good at listening as a kid.
Okay.
A lot of my childhood was getting in trouble for not following directions and a lot of different stuff like that. Attacking teachers. I remember I got kicked out of one of my elementary schools for pulling a pocket knife on a noon duty.
Ooh.
Yeah. I was like eight.
Wow.
Like, so that kind of gives you like the theme.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this guy's gonna be a terrorist. You know, like that's, and that was
a future
like,
terrorist in the making.
Exactly, exactly. Just a future little fucking hellion, you know.
Yes.
And yeah, that's kind of how it. That's kind of how it was. I mean, and the family life was solid. You know, yeah. Like obviously, no family's perfect.
All right, right.
But like realistically, you look back on it, and it's like, yeah, dude, we went on family vacations. We did all kinds of fun, cool stuff. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I went to Disneyland like hundreds of times as a kid.
Oh, fuck yeah!
Like we were not like hurting for like,
right.
like positive experiences. You know, it's just right. like. I think I was just like a curious little kid from the suburbs that felt different and wanted yeah. to be different and wanted to be cool.
Right.
I mean, it was the 90s, the early 2000s. It was Poway, Blink-182.
Oh, you yes.
know?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Jackass.
Yeah.
Like everyone yeah. wanted to be fucking cool. And then like
yeah.
we're like, fuck authority. Right.
Yeah.
And then going through school, doing all the things, feeling different. And then the D.A.R.E. program. Everyone remembers the D.A.R.E. program, man. And the D.A.R.E. program
yeah.
Was a failed experiment at
oh,
best.
Oh,
you know?
No.
It was fucked.
Oh, it didn't save
man.
Nobody?
So if you don't know what D.A.R.E. is, D.A.R.E. is the Drug Abuse Resistance Education. And essentially,
yeah.
what D.A.R.E. did is they came in with cops.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They did come with the
They came in with fucking cops, dude, with the popo, the 5-0.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fucking 12 cops.
I remember
in.
That now.
and they tell you all these, they educate you about all these different drugs, right?
Right.
Like weed and what it is and all the different names for
yeah.
it, and like ecstasy and what it
I
is and all the
that.
Different names for it, and like, you know, and like
remember.
Heroin and coke, and they like educate you on all the different effects that these drugs have and how
yes.
addictive they are and how
yes.
terrible they are.
Yes.
And they're like
Damn.
Telling you with this fist of authority, like, don't do any of these things. And
right.
the only thing that I heard that whole time is like, man, now I know what this does and what that does. And like, maybe want to do more research and want to find out more. Like literally the only thing that D.A.R.E. did for me was made me be like, that sounds rad.
Yeah.
You know? And like, I had tried weed really early on, like
yeah.
Like it was available to me. It's like it was around.
Okay,
you know. So I had tried weed early on, and I was like, well, man, if weed is this cool, then I think D.A.R.E. might have lied.
Oh,
you know, I think they might have been full of shit.
God damn.
And so, like, I would
conspiracy.
Say, I would say through middle school, I was probably. Like, after trying weed, I was trying to get my hands on pretty much anything that was going to make me feel different. Because as soon as I, like, had tried weed and I had, like, tried drinking, I was like, oh, wow, this is fucking, this is way better than being sober.
Right.
You know, like, that's, I found that out really early on yeah. that, like.
How old were you when you first started? Remember?
Maybe 11.
11-ish. 11, okay.
10, 12.
Something
you know,
like,
you know, I wanted to like be cool with the cool kids
mm-hmm.
that were like 13, 14, and they
I
were
see.
Doing shit like that.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah,
so
yeah,
I was
yeah,
like,
yeah.
hell
Fall
yeah,
soup.
Let's go. I would say like 10 or 11.
Okay.
Like middle of middle school.
Okay.
You know, or maybe the beginning of middle school.
Okay.
Like 6th or 7th grade.
That's okay.
The first time. And then like, I would try to get it all the time, but like I'm a kid.
Yeah, right.
So
right.
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like, you're a fucking
people don't want to fuck
like,
with
like,
you.
Fuck you. You're literally a child. Like, you know, I'm like, dude, I just want to get fucked up. You know, and that got me into like punk rock music and
right.
like all that whole scene. You know, and like. Like, you know how the scene is,
right.
dude.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Everybody's fucking...
It's a wild bunch.
Yeah, everybody's fucking doing beer runs and drinking 40s.
Yeah.
And like, being pieces of shit, and we're like teenagers, like barely even fucking teenagers. Like, I'm like, oh, if you won't... if I can't get the drugs, I'm going to steal the drugs. Like, I'm going
right.
to figure it out. You know, and I started like snorting my prescription Ritalin. Like,
oh, no shit.
Yeah, like early.
Wow.
Like early, before what? High school, I was snorting prescription Ritalin.
Fuck.
So it's like,
I would never have thought of that.
Exactly. So it's like, I'm like a fucking, I'm like already like, and it's not like it even got me high. I just like think I like wanted to be fucking cool.
Right. Yeah, yeah. More like you're like, it was like a line of cocaine or something.
Exactly. Like for me, like I wasn't even like, that shit didn't even, it never got me high because like I was, I needed it.
Yeah.
So,
you're taking
like,
your medicine.
So like, yeah, so, just like taking it wrong, you know, like horrible. But like, like, I wanted to be fucking cooler than everybody else, dude. So I listened to loud ass music. I fucking started making my own clothes and dressing loud and being loud and snorting shit I shouldn't be snorting and fucking drinking shit I shouldn't be drinking and fucking smoking dirt weed and fucking thinking I was the shit, you know? Oh, this guy's got mushrooms. I'm like, let me try them. And then I try them and be like, oh, that was fucking terrible. You know what I mean? But like, and then I do it again and like, I can learn to like this, you know?
Right.
And that kind of attitude. Already lying. That's literally like, through middle school, not even into high school yet.
Right.
Like that was the, and like I had to live in the shadow of like my super, super like normal, successful parents, my normal, successful sisters. Right. And everyone's like, oh, you're Mrs. Barlow's son. And she's like this well-known art teacher. Right. For me, I'm like kind of quote unquote, like living in her shadow and like nothing against her. It's I was just like, I was like, I didn't have my own identity because she was
established.
Her identity overshadowed mine.
Yes.
So I'm like, oh, if you're going to be famous, I'm going to be infamous. You know, and I kind of had that attitude approaching it. And like, looking back, I'm like, what a fucking loser I was. But like, but I didn't, at the time, dude, I had no identity.
Right.
Like, I had been robbed of the ability to make my own identity.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's like, so I was going to make my own, and it was going to be like Sid Vicious's identity, you know?
I totally see that, dude.
That fucking, that punk rock identity, right?
Right.
Like, people are like, oh, I'm going to be a cowboy, I'm going to be an astronaut, I'm going to be a heroin addict rock star, let's go. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I didn't think that early on, but like, in my mind, that was my trajectory for sure, early on. Like,
right.
And so throughout high school, I tried a couple of different career paths.
Okay.
You know, like I used to sell a lot of LSD.
Oh.
That was my original hustle.
Oh, no shit.
My original hustle, like as far as like all the drug shit goes.
I've never done LSD.
It's pretty rad.
Is it?
But fucking Bill W. did it, you know? Like, let's be real. Bill, like, he was trying to kickstart that spiritual experience. Let's go. Like,
come on, guys.
I would say like I had some pretty moderate success with that because like you can't take it all the time. So it's not something that you take all the time.
Yeah, so, yeah. Like, it doesn't sound like it.
You're able to like kind of sell it and only do a little bit because you can't do it all the time. So it's like you can't get high on your own supply type of deal.
Trust me,
not for lack of trying. I was taking it all the time. It just doesn't work like that.
It first affects.
You gotta like recharge your brain.
It just can't. I mean,
so if you're wondering why I'm fucking totally nuts now, it's probably because I took acid for like 200 days in a row, in early high school. You know, like back to back. Like, maybe I should chill, but like that thought never occurred to me.
Okay, now it's starting to make sense now.
Yeah, exactly. So like, I was that punk rock kid that sold acid and took a bunch of acid and that was my lifestyle. You know, I would use that money to like buy the drugs I did want to use every day.
So I was smoking weed
every day and like occasionally doing cocaine, you know, like shit like that. But like, and drinking, you know, when it was available, but like drinking didn't really take a firm hold early on. For me, I was like big old fucking stoner, 420.
Yeah, 420. You know what
I
mean?
Like, for sure. Like, like I was a big old pothead. And then like, I liked taking psychedelics and I liked to like hang out and like party and play music and rock out and like and we would like, you know, like steal our parents' cars and like drive and drive them to concerts that we weren't supposed to be at and like sneak into the concerts we weren't even supposed to be there, you know, like it's a 21 and up show and we like like hop the fence, and I was going to concerts like constantly, like as much as I possibly could. I can't, like, that whole period of time, like, I was quote-unquote grounded, you know what I mean?
I see.
Okay.
You try to
ground a shithead, you know what I mean? Like, good luck. Like, I was unruly. I was ungovernable.
I see.
You know? So, like, and that sucked for them, but you know what? The government stepped in. They started, sometime in high school, I threatened some kid with a gun. And then I went to, and then I got locked up, right? Like, okay. Did you actually have the gun? It was an online gun threat. It wasn't even, you know, where you're like, wow, but it wasn't even. It doesn't matter because they like that was around the time they started taking shit seriously, dude. Because it was like post Columbine and all that shit. So you make a threat to somebody and it's like a big fucking deal, right?
Yeah.
So like I ended up going, I ended up going to juvenile hall. I think I want to say I was like 15 or 16. Oh, shit. I was pretty young.
You went to juvie, huh?
Uh-huh. And then they sent me up to Campo.
Nice.
Yeah. That was my first Campo experience. And you and I both know that was not my last.
That is not the last.
So, and then it was basically like they had it like this weird like military camp.
Yeah.
Stupid.
I've seen it.
Do duck walks around the compound, like fucking push-ups in the snow type bullshit, right, you know? Then you had to go to school the whole time. I was there for like 100 days or something. Okay. Like, you know, it was like a nice little term for a little kid.
Yeah.
You know, and like I got out and I thought I was the toughest kid in school. Whoa, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I got back to the mean street of Poway.
You're the meanest of the.
And I'm like, yeah. Okay, I just did juvie time, you know?
Right.
So
like, badass.
Yeah, and it's like it didn't really fucking matter. It was like it didn't make me any cooler. It didn't make
No.
The only thing I learned was that there was a bunch of there was racial politics. Like I was like because before that growing up mixed race, you know, like I didn't really even know anything about that shit. Really? I mean in Poway, dude, there isn't really like it's like a pretty progressive town, you know what I mean? Like now, like looking back on it, of course there's like their little factions and everything like that. But like for the most part, like the crew that I hung out with was like we're like we didn't care what race you were, dude. Like as long as unless the only thing I cared about race is that I won the race. You know what I'm saying? like that I was in first place at the end.
Right.
That's the only race I fucking cared about was being the fastest, you know. And like that's what it was, man. So like the only thing the juvie really taught me was that there was like racial politics.
Yeah,
and
I was that was your first experience of racism.
Yeah, and I was like, yo, what the and having every single deputy in there like speak to me in Spanish because I have darker skin.
Oh my god.
And I'm like, dude, I don't actually speak Spanish. I'm Chinese. You know? And they're like, shut the fuck up.
Same shit.
Right? Yeah, exact same shit. You're like, not even close. You know what I mean? But that's so wild. Yeah, like welcome to my mixed race life, you know. And that kind of continues to take like a lot of precedents later on, you know?
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask that. Like,
so
it made you feel more excluded.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, and I had never really felt that way before, I didn't really see myself as anything outside. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I guess I didn't see myself as white and I didn't see myself as Chinese, but I just saw myself as like American. Right. You know what I mean?
Wow. What?
Well, I know that sounds weird, but like up until then, I just saw myself as like this. Just a guy,
right?
You know, and now I'm like this this mixed race, like basically like culturally white dude, and you're gonna be white now. Yeah, and I'm like, okay, that's a little different. Like,
right?
I thought we took off our shoes when we came in the door. You know,
it's in you.
yeah, exactly. So
wow,
yeah. So that was kind of interesting, and like I went back and pretty much got my head into all the same shit. I didn't really like at that point I wasn't even really getting along with my parents. They pretty much just kind of tolerated me because I was a terrorist. Yeah. I was like getting locked up. I had a curfew. I had a house I had a house arrest that I literally just didn't obey.
You went out of your way to go in later.
I would wait for the call to check in because I didn't have an ankle monitor or anything. So they're like, yeah, just call in. And I'm like, call in. And then I would just leave. I'm like, what are they going to do? Drive by the house?
You know, like, I'm not there.
They don't have any time to do that shit. So it's like, and so I had like a curfew that I totally ignored. I just did whatever the hell I wanted. Yeah, and like the thing is my parents would like get in trouble for that, you know? Like they had to pay my juvenile hall bills and
stuff.
Yeah,
they do. Yeah, yeah,
they had to pay my probation bills. So it's like they're like, "Can you just behave cuz this is expensive?" You know? Like, all right. But it's like I was just like, that was not on my itinerary. Was to be a good kid, you know?
Right.
My itinerary was to be like I'm going to be in all these different punk rock bands, play out of garages, drink 40s, smoke cigarettes, smoke as much weed as I possibly could, take as many drugs as were around, you know, without dying, obviously. But like the thing is like dying wasn't a thing back then. People were not ODing. When I started getting loaded, people were not ODing. That was like not a thing.
No. Or it was super rare, and
fucked up comment. Just throwing it out there because I was talking about it earlier. I was like, back in the day when we heard about somebody dying from heroin, we would literally go to that dealer and get that dope.
Yeah,
because we're like, that's the good shit. That's killing people.
Yeah,
like we wanted that shit, and like now it's like. Oh, everything kills everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
So fuck even using.
Right.
But like that though? Back in the day, you heard about somebody dying and you're like, I want that shit.
Yeah, that's the good shit. That's the good shit.
Like that guy's got the shit that I want. Anyway, so we're not even into the fucking the heroin era.
Let's go back.
Well, reel it back to I'm in fucking high school. I'm this unruly fucking punk rock fucking shit.
Okay.
I've got like fucking dreadlocks and like fucking
feathers
and braids and feathers in my hair. I was horrible.
That's so funny.
I was like a horrible kid.
Oh my God.
You know, and I didn't listen to anybody and I fucking chewed tobacco and I fucking like everything. Damn. Just a dirt bag.
Wow.
It was just like a little dirt bag. And That was my existence, you know what I mean? And I was like by some miracle, I like continued existing like that. I went through a bunch of different like private schools.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, because I could not fucking not get kicked out of school, you know? And so like it got to a point where like because of my ADHD, I was on a individualized like education plan, an IEP.
Oh, no shit.
So what they did is like... we were able to use the system to like get me into different schools.
Okay.
And then I was able to like go to this school for a little while and then get kicked out. Go to that school for a little while and get kicked out. And then eventually I like cycled back into my original school because I had been expelled for long enough that I could get back into my original school.
Right.
And by then I had all my credits done except for electives. So my senior year, I'm like burnt out by my senior year, dude. And I'm like, and all I got to do is like, PE, I think.
Easy.
PE.
Easy as fuck.
And like two electives. So I took like jewelry.
Jewelry?
And, yeah. And then and then like a design and mixed media class. No, three electives. And I had to be a TA. Uh-huh. Okay. So the TA, I was literally the worst possible TA.
Oh, the teacher's
assistant.
Oh, I done that too.
Oh my God, nightmare, dude. Yeah. Could you imagine having me as your TA? She's like, dude, why the hell did I get assigned this jackass? This guy doesn't even know the curriculum. I'm like, I don't. And I'm not grading papers and I'm not sorting any of your shit. I'm just gonna sit here and be fucked up. And
yeah. Basically. Right.
Like, I'm literally just gonna be shit face drunk. And like I would literally show up like a fucking like a Jack in the Box cup or like a double gulp from 7-Eleven, except for it'd be like half whiskey.
Oh, nice, dude.
And like half Coke. And I would drink out of it with my sunglasses on and my head down on the table, just like fucking wasted, dude. Just like a total shit bag.
Damn.
You know what I mean? And so like, alcoholism had its grips already. You know what I mean? And
here we go.
And that was like my existence, dude. I like fucking drank like that, like my last year of high school. And by some fucking miracle, I managed to graduate. I mean, like, how are you gonna fail jewelry?
I don't know, dude.
You know? And like how are you gonna fail design and mixed media? I made like a fucking basket or some shit like that.
It was
like
cool.
Just sitting there fucking. And I'm pretty sure the teacher in that class was just stoned as fuck. So it was like
super
chilling.
Yeah.
And by the end of that year, I was like primed to graduate. And like, I remember like right before I graduated too, me and the homie, were like tagging.
Uh-huh.
And then he got caught and he wasn't able to graduate. And I like managed to like fucking
escape,
tumble down the bushes into this canyon.
Nice.
You know, and like they like couldn't get me. And there was like a helicopter flying around.
Really?
And, like,
for a tagging?
Yeah. It was, I mean, like it's Poway, dude. So
fuck, that was a big deal.
And, like, I mean, and we tagged a lot of shit.
Oh, okay.
You know, right.
It's big enough, I guess.
Yeah. It was pretty bad. But yeah, the thing about Poway is like people don't realize that how much it sucks with the sheriffs there, but because
it's the
San Diego County's sheriff training facility.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, so that's so they show up in like SWAT gear and like kick your door down nothing because they need to train the rookies how to do that shit.
Oh, okay.
So it's like the reason they like Poway sucks so much with the cops is because like they have to.
Yeah,
because
that's
where they're training all the new field officers.
Ooh, fuck.
So it's you're like fuck, dude. It's pretty crazy. Like I've definitely been raided for some shit that I should not have been raided for. But that's later on. We'll get to that.
Oh wow. Damn.
So yeah, high school was pretty chilling. I was able to like graduate. I like put the gown on and like I seriously considered streaking.
Oh, dude, that would have been sick.
That would have been pretty legendary. But I think that they knew that I was planning to do that because they did like a clothing check underneath the robes and everything. Like,
no way.
Yeah, they were pretty.
They got tipped.
Yeah, they were pretty significant about it. And I even had a plan to like do the clothing check and like slowly get undressed under the robe. You know, and
just then start stripping, dude.
And then like toss the clothes in the bushes and like all this other stuff. But I didn't end up pulling it off because that would have been so epically legendary.
Yeah, what have they,
like,
dude?
They're like, we're gonna withhold your diploma from you. I'm like, that's not legal. So
that's not legal. Here's my address.
Yeah. But I didn't do it. And then I was supposed to go to like the dance after.
Oh
but
yeah.
I ended up like the next thing I remember was I was like fucked up in the bushes somewhere. So like I obviously didn't make it to that, you know?
Oh man.
And that was kind of like my life. Like after high school, I had this this summer experience. I was 17 when I graduated, or 16 and then almost 17 or something like that.
Oh really? Yeah. Oh, that's pretty young.
Yeah. So like my summer, the summer of the year that I was 17, I just decided to give alcoholism like it's on a shot.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, yeah. I was, well, this is my first like try with alcoholism, because the thing was I was on like high control probation.
Yeah.
And they were drug testing me all the fucking time.
Oh, I see.
And so like alcohol was the thing that back then you could get away with drinking. Like they didn't have the enzyme tests and stuff yet.
Oh, they did.
Yeah. So like you could drink and get away with it. And like really all I wanted to do was just smoke a little pot and it would have been fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like literally like I was like, I'll chill. I'll just smoke weed for the duration of probation and we're cool.
Right.
But no, I decided I was going to be an alcoholic because they can't test for that. Right. Yeah, so like I started drinking heavy every day. We go to the beach, we go to like the cliffs and hang out and fucking drink and and I would literally just drink blackout drunk like almost every day. Just
really?
Horribly fucking blackout drunk every day. And that was just how it was. And like at this point, like sure, I would have taken whatever drugs you would have given me, but like I had like the sense to be like, well, I can't do anything that's gonna fail a drug test.
Okay.
I was like that douchebag that was like, I'll do anything to pass a drug test except for stop doing drugs.
Yeah. You know, like, how dare you?
I'll do anything but that, dude. Like I'll fucking like, and I would like try to take spice and do all all the fucking, and spice is horrible, dude. First of all, 100% would never recommend spice. It's horrible. It's a nightmare.
Oh wow.
And then that just wasn't.
Is
for
it
me.
Still around? Spice still a thing?
I fucking hope not. I mean, weed's legal now. It's like how does probation even say like you can't smoke weed?
I don't know.
It's legal.
I don't,
So
especially the state's fucking fine with it.
Yeah, it's like suck it. I mean, that's my 420. Opinion. 420. I mean, that's my opinion. Like, I think that like there's a lot of different roads to Mecca, and I think that a lot of people find recovery in a lot of different ways.
Yeah,
absolutely. Some people can drink, you know, like gentlemen. Some people, or ladies, or them days, or whatever you want to say.
Whatever your pronouns are.
Yeah, yeah. You can drink like a pronoun, you know?
Yeah.
Like, And like some people can smoke a little bud here and there and right. be chill, you know. Personally, I found that my case is a little different, but we'll get
yeah,
to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would say, so I was drinking and it was getting pretty out of control.
Right.
And at one point I had gotten really seriously injured. I had fallen down a cliff. My, like I was like trying to pee, slipped on some ice plant, ate shit down the cliff, like hey, tumbled.
You were drunk when this happened?
Yeah, oh, tumbled okay. down a ravine. Okay. Yeah, so here's the catch 22, right? If I wasn't drunk, it would have killed me for sure.
Really?
Right? But if I wasn't drunk, I probably wouldn't have fallen in the first place. Right? Or even been in a situation where I could have fallen yeah. off the cliff in the first place. So the reality is like... alcohol killed and saved.
You mentioned, and I'm not even fucking joking, dude. You mentioned that you were drinking and you were hanging out in cliffs, and I was like, that sounds really fucking dangerous.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was important. It was the segue into this.
Yes, right? Dude.
Right. So like, I end up getting literally like ragdolled, dude. I had like fucking staples in my head. My shoulder was trashed. My collarbone was just like fucking wrecked.
Right.
My fucking, I had a punctured lung.
Oh, God. So,
like,
damn,
basically,
dude.
All this shit happened, right? And I don't remember shit, right? Like, I literally had, like, I woke up with, like, contusions on my face.
Right.
In the hospital with a breathing tube. The very first thing I did was I saw Scooby Doo playing on the TV and I pulled the breathing tube out and the machines are going off. They're freaking the fuck out.
Wow.
Like, and I'm still, like, wasted from the night before because they can't, like, they pump my stomach, but, right, like, the blood that was in, or the alcohol that was in my blood was already in my blood. There's right. nothing. And then, like, puke up all this charcoal, and, like, where the fuck am I?
Yeah.
And, like, my family's, like, in the room and shit. They're like, you almost fucking died.
Oh, Jesus.
And I'm
Christ.
Like, well, that's fucking lame. You know? Like,
I'm still alive?
And, yeah. And they're like, the hospital, like, they made me, because I was a minor, they're like, you got to go to rehab.
Oh, I'm like, no.
They're like, there's no possible way you were drinking. You had, because I had like a 0.36, which is like 8 times over the legal limit.
Okay.
You know, which there is no legal limit because I was 17.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? But like, they're like, you got to go to rehab because there's no way that you got that much alcohol in your system if you weren't drinking alcoholically.
Yeah.
And I was like, no. It was just a rough night, you know?
I see.
And so they sent me to, they're like, well, either you're going to rehab or you're going to the mental hospital.
Oh, fuck.
Because, like, you tried to kill yourself.
Oh,
those
God,
are the only
damn.
Options, right?
Wow.
So, I went to Sharp Mesa Vista. I went to the mental
hospital.
Oh,
you went there? Mental hospital?
And I was there for 3 days on, like, a watch.
Oh,
and they're
yeah,
I think you're just, like, a literally an alcohol abuser,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I went there, and then they released me back into the wild.
Yes.
Like my parents, right?
Yeah.
And then I had to do, this is my first experience with rehab. I had to do what they, I think they called it the changes program. And it's like minors doing, like IOP.
Oh, okay.
And it was cool. Like I went home and did all the things I needed to do. And then I had to show up to groups and they're like, here's your fucking, like, your DUI classes. And, like, they weren't DUI classes, but they were, like, you got to read about this and alcohol and drugs in the system. And, like,
yeah.
I just fucking lied my way through all that shit to make myself seem like I didn't have a problem.
Right.
Not that I'd, like, at the time, I didn't even really think I had a problem. I just knew what to say. Like,
I'm smart enough
to know what to say. Like, you guys, like, fuck you guys. I'm 17. There ain't no fucking way I'm done yet.
Yeah, dude. Wow, yeah.
I still got some fucking shit show to go through, you know?
Right.
And so, like, I go through all that, and I, like, manage to, like, kind of use and whatever through all that. And
yeah.
It is what it is. And then... So within that same year, I started going to college. Right?
Uh-huh.
Like that was the agreement with my parents that I could stay living with them if I was going to college. And literally, I went to college for like 3 days. I went to college for 3 days and then lied to them to have a place to live.
Yes.
And pretended to go to school for half a semester.
Okay.
Like I would get like, because I couldn't drive because I was a horrible person.
Yeah.
And I would get dropped off at the community college,
okay.
And then I would just leave. And so flashback. Right? So like after getting injured like that, they put me on pain meds.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I went through all those pain meds like fuck
instantly.
Oh yeah. I was like, I get drug tested for these, and I can have these in my system.
Oh,
fuck you.
Yeah. Right.
You know
right.
What I mean? So
right.
I go, So, like, I was like a garbage disposal for opiate pain meds, right?
Nice. What were they prescribing you?
They had me on all kinds of shit.
Oh, no
like
shit.
Like, all the good stuff.
All the good
you
stuff.
You know, yeah, like, yeah, fucking Oxy, fucking Norco, you know, like, all fucking, yep, you know, yep, like, yep, good stuff. And, like, I was, shit, like, when I was in there, I was, like, on IV morphine. So, it's, like, woo, like, for me, it was, like, oh, opiate pain meds, I can take these and pass a drug test?
Yes.
Fucking.
Let's go.
Bet. Right, so like I'm like, and so now, like literally within 6 months, I'm strung out on heroin. Like,
God damn,
like, man. Well, like, I mean, I think I tried smoking oxys for a little bit. Like,
oh, you tried smoking it?
Yeah, and
your
it was
own medicine.
Cool. And it was, yeah, I tried smoking oxys for a little bit, and it was cool, I guess, you know, and then. Right. And then, like, as soon as I found heroin, I was like, hell yeah,
wow,
dude. And I smoked black tar heroin. Like, I pretty much became immediately strung out after that.
Right? First hit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, not immediately, but, like, I was like, oh, this is it.
Yeah.
Like, the first time I tried heroin, I was like, I had that, like, that wave, that sense of ease and comfort that, ooh, it talked about in the literature of Alcoholics Anonymous. Know, well, you know what I mean? Like, that, yeah, sense of ease and comfort when I remember when I did heroin for the first time, I was like, oh, this is it.
Yeah.
This hits. I'm home.
Yeah.
I've arrived.
Yeah, you know? Sir.
And so
I opened this door.
Yeah, exactly. So at this point I'm like doing heroin all the time, and like by the time I'm in college, I would literally like lie to go to school.
Uh-huh.
And then I would just fucking do heroin.
Oh.
Instead of going to school.
How dare you?
Yeah. I would go practice with my bands. I would, like, they would pick me up from school and I'd go practice, yeah, with my bands.
Right.
And I would do heroin, and then, like, I'd be like, okay, now drop me back off at the school so I can look like I'm fucking getting
with a book in your hand.
So bad, right? Damn, and it wasn't long after that, like, once I was doing heroin, I was starting to get arrested, you know? Like, okay, they were like, and yeah, I tried my hand at being a heroin dealer.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, it's not really possible for a heroin addict to be a heroin dealer.
No.
I mean, like, I just found no success there. Like, yeah.
You were using all your supply?
Yeah, I just wasn't doing the most,
right,
with that. So
you weren't a productive entrepreneur, as,
yeah,
you like,
exactly,
to be.
So I started getting into like anything that was gonna make me money. Commercial burglary,
okay,
fucking, you know, just like just fucking stealing from my parents. I didn't give a fuck, you know, right? So yeah, like obviously they didn't really want me around anymore, like, because,
right,
I was like starting to crime.
Yes,
you know, like,
yes,
that was my I had turned to like crime, you know. And
was that like a boundary for them?
I think the boundary for them was just like me doing a bunch of heroin,
and they
you know,
just
they're like,
okay,
"Yo, what the fuck?" Like, you know,
not cool, Rigel.
Yeah, this is lame,
right?
We taught you better than this, you know, and they did,
100%, yeah,
they did,
absolutely.
Like I just like, I don't know, it just escalated into that, right?
Yeah,
and my lifestyle became really, really centered around crime. It actually became centered around guns, which is pretty wild. But like,
yeah, we live in a very not gun friendly state here.
Yeah, yeah. And like it got to the point where like I was like always in possession of guns, always trying to sell a gun, doing stuff like that.
No shit.
So it was yeah, I mean, the first time I got busted, I just had a bunch of a bunch of knives,
oh,
and a bunch of dope, and
okay,
I think I had ammo.
And oh, I, no shit.
Yeah, like a good amount of ammo, and then, ooh, they threw the book at me, and I went
really
upstate for the first time,
really?
And they were like, yeah, and I did. I did a little short prison term.
Was it was this before crash?
No, so I guess so. No, this. So I went to jail for the first time, and
yeah,
then, and it was like nothing.
Okay.
Right, and then, yeah, then I got released from jail to crash
gotcha,
for like 90 days or
right,
whatever.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
And then from there I went. I did my back-to-back prison.
Right, back to
I went in, went in, got out, and like within it was like less than a month or something. Like I got out and like I was, it was basically, prison for me was like crime school.
Oh, of course it is. You know? College.
Yeah, exactly. And so like obviously I went to crash, didn't stick.
Oh.
And then go figure, right? Like, it's the practical program of action. I did no action. I got no results.
Yeah, same here, dude. You know, the only action I did is walk 5 miles for my next shot right after I got out.
Yeah, right. So then I went, I got really involved in a bunch of criminal shit and then got arrested again. And then went to a higher level yard and did a little bit more time. And at least this time, like I see it as a benefit. Like a lot of people might not, but this time I spent over half of my, or about half of my term in single cell solitary ad seg.
Oh, nice, right? Dude. So,
like for me, that was like heaven.
That's awesome. Like,
no people, no shit. Like right. What happened was I got a 115, which is like a fucking a write up or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
And they like, we have you on camera witnessing a crime.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay.
And the crime was a murder. Oh, right? Okay.
So you saw a murder.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. And right. I literally refused to talk to him about it.
Yeah.
And that was their punishment. Is that?
Oh, really?
I was, like, no contact, single cell. And like, so all I had was books and stores, and that's it.
Oh,
and
wow. No,
like, and food, obviously. I broke it down into like a mental routine where I just like woke up, worked out, ate food, cleaned the cell, cleaned myself, you know?
Yeah.
Worked out, ate food, read for like 10 hours, and then went to sleep, you know? Like, and that was like my routine. And I literally did that shit for 9 months, dude. Nice. Just like, boom, 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 boom. So it's like, cool, you know?
I would love that.
It was fantastic. And then as soon as I got out of that and hit a yard, all I really did was I got a job, I got off work, and every day I would just like, I would either work out or like get a tattoo or like whatever, you know what I mean? And it's like walk laps and fucking do pull ups and walk laps. And like I was programmed, you know, at that point. So I remember, and then I got like, I got released and I had nowhere to really go. They took me to the lighthouse, I immediately AWOL'd the lighthouse. Dude, I had like no fucking plans, dude. Like, in my head, I was like, you know what I'm going to do is I'm just going to get strung out. You know, like, that was my plan. Like, I was like, I got $200. I can get a sack.
Right.
And like, it was fucked, man.
Yeah.
Like, there was like, now thinking back, like, could I have probably benefited of just staying at the lighthouse and like having a solid release? Dude, it probably would have been a good idea.
Probably would have
got me on my feet. But the thing was, is I wasn't ready.
Right.
I wasn't ready to stop digging to reach my bottom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I fucking had to live like the homeless fucking loser lifestyle for a while, you know? And I did that and I'm like doing the fucking homeless thing and like living in cars, going from place to place, doing the whole fucked up thing, dude, just being strung out and like shooting heroin, shooting meth, fucking.
Yeah.
And then like I would like try to stop by like drinking super heavily and like blackout drinking and like driving to fucking God knows where, like, you know, and I'm like, this is damage control, right? Nice. Like, for me, like, I'm not shooting heroin. This is good. This is a healthy decision.
That's harm reduction.
Harm reduction, exactly. And so it was just a fucking nightmare, dude. My life was a fucking shit show. Like, there was at one point, like, me and some fucking idiots got our hands on a sailboat, dude.
Oh, dude.
And like all kinds of fucked up shit, dude. It was bad.
You were stranded in the ocean.
Literally this whole time, I'm absconding parole. The whole time. Like, I never once checked in. I never once piss tested for nobody. Like, literally, I have warrants.
Wow.
Like, for all this shit. Like, I'm like, if we get pulled over, I'm going to jail. You guys are getting searched. Like, like this, that's what's happening. Like,
right.
Like, they're literally looking for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. My address is in that tent over there.
You know, like, my address.
Yeah. Like, I was fucking living in the shrubberbs. You know what I mean?
through the suburbs to the shrubbers.
Yeah, dude. Fucking not quite. I never really got quite river bottom, but like I definitely like lived in some shooting galleries.
Oh, yes.
I definitely lived in some squats. Yeah, I definitely,
you were heading that direction, sir.
Oh yeah, no, that was the next house on the block, right?
Right.
And then it was so April 2015.
Yeah.
I finally hit my bottom. I got arrested for the last time.
Yeah.
You know? And I had, let's see, I had a loaded gun on me.
Yeah.
I was wearing women's clothes. So here.
Yes.
Right? Like, so like, let's, I was on a lot of, I was like coming off a pretty gnarly meth bender. So we're gonna open with that. Right?
Okay. Okay.
Right? I was wearing women's clothes, like women's pants and like a blouse. Okay. With like a tank top underneath. So it was like, at least the tank top was kind of normal, but like.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Okay. I had a loaded gun tucked into my waistband.
Nice.
Right. I was playing guitar, like acoustic guitar, out loud and singing.
Oh.
Like. Loudly.
How what time was this?
It was 4 a.m. Right? Mm-hmm. And I wasn't like particular, I wouldn't say I was particularly high at the time.
Okay.
But I would say that like I wasn't exactly sober either.
You were feeling yourself though.
I was feeling myself for sure. I was wearing women's clothes and I was playing guitar singing at 4 a.m. Right. Yes. So like I was coming down for sure.
Yes.
And I had a lanyard around my neck, right? Yeah. And at the end of the lanyard there was a little baby sock, right? Okay. A little Batman baby sock. It had a little cape on it.
Oh, okay.
And it said Batman on it. But inside the baby sock was a fully loaded meth pipe.
Oh.
All right. So like that was
a unique case you had right there.
Yeah, that was a very unique case I had right there. And the cops, they saw me, and not only that, but I like have warrants. Right? So like
so it wasn't wise to do this.
No. And they're like, "You, sir, are going to jail." like what the fuck? And because and that little fucking meth sock full of dope is what fucking
really
that was the saving grace, dude, because like the gun, they're like, "You're going back upstate, motherfucker."
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like, that was the goal, right?
Right.
But they're like, "But you've got this, you've got these drugs, so we're going to offer you a program."
No shit.
Right? Wow. And they offered me a bunch of county-funded programs, which ended up being the saving grace, right?
Yes.
And they signed me up for a bunch of them, and I... God rest his soul, George Martinez came and he tried to,
I know.
He really pushed the Freedom Ranch. So I was like, okay, let's go. Right.
Same. That's exactly what happened to me.
Yeah. And we were in jail and he really pushed the San Diego Freedom Ranch. And, and that is, I did like 90 days in jail maybe. And then they, maybe 70 or something like
something
that.
Something like
not,
that.
Not,
yeah,
not,
yeah, yeah.
Not
yeah,
super
yeah.
long, but not like, oh, like a couple of months, two months and some change or something like that.
2 months. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and then like, they came and swooped me up and they drove me to the Freedom Ranch and we took intake pictures and I was like, could barely fit into my women's clothing. You know, because like obviously you put on some weight and you get a little buff and shit, right? So I'm like filling out these women's clothes like pretty well. And like I get up to the Freedom Ranch and you know like back
you had
then
women's clothes going to the ranch dude.
Back then the ranch was like kind of fucking it was kind of conned out. You know what I mean? Like it's not quite as like that anymore, but like back then it was like basically like hitting another yard. You know? And so you show up to this yard wearing like women's pants and I ditched the blouse. Like that thing just got thrown out. And like I was wearing like a tank top, but I was like way too fucking big for because I had been working out for you know. And then I was like, hey, I need to get some fucking clothes. Because like these clothes don't even fit anymore.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, they hooked me up with some like clothes right away. And
Seizure World.
Yeah. And then they just started pushing me through the rows, you know?
Oh shit.
And it was like, and that was my first like real honest experience with Alcoholics Anonymous.
Oh yeah.
I mean, like before that, sure, I went to plenty of meetings.
Yeah.
Right. And I went to a bunch of meetings, and I thought that maybe just talking about it would keep me clean somehow.
I didn't
realize that those 12 steps were something that you actually did. I just thought it was like an agreement that you had,
like a contract
wall. You know what I mean? Like I didn't actually.
I agree.
Yeah. I'm like, hell yeah, those are cool things.
Yeah.
You know.
Good.
And then. So for me, I had a very unique experience with the steps, because like I took the big book at heart, and
right.
I didn't actually end up getting a sponsor until recently.
Yes, you're your own sponsor.
Yeah, not necessarily. Like the way it worked for me was I worked my first 7 steps up at the ranch, right? Mm-hmm. So I did my 5th step with Big Book Ridge. And then who's a saint, and I love that
guy. I know.
Legend. And that was a spiritual experience, right? Yeah. So obviously that was my experience with AAA. It's like that's all they had on the menu at the Freedom Ranch. Like back then, that's all they did. They spoon-fed you AAA, and they said, shut the fuck up, and here's your big book, and read this shit, and shut the fuck up, and read this shit, and shut the fuck up, and read this, and do this with everybody here, and also shut the fuck up.
Right.
And here's God.
Here's some God for you.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And that was it. And like I was like, and I was so against it. I fucking hated everything about it. But the thing is like they were like, what I noticed was like I was miserable and everybody else was fucking getting better.
I see.
And I wasn't. And I was like, you know what? Fuck you guys. I'll do this shit just to prove to you it doesn't work.
Oh. Right? Oh, I see. I'm a Renaissance man here.
Yeah, a resentment guy. Right? Like, I'll prove to you that this shit doesn't work. You'll see.
I see.
And so I'm going through the whole fucking the whole like shit show of trying to prove that it doesn't work. And like, I have a spiritual experience, right? With the steps, right? And I'm starting to work with the newcomers at the ranch, and we're doing all the things and giving back, right? I work the first 7 steps at the ranch and start on my 8th step. And then I actually technically got kicked out of the Freedom Ranch.
Yes, I heard the story.
Yeah, I tickled
Bill. Bill told me.
I tickled my friend through a window, and he broke the glass, and it was like, whatever. And then, so it was actually when I first left the Freedom Ranch, I was still trying to get into Pathfinders, which is a sober house.
Oh yeah.
Residential.
You were trying to do that whole like go to the ranch and then go straight to Pathfinders after.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so I was still on the waiting list there, and I would be going to meetings. In the meanwhile, I'm doing my steps still, and like I'm guiding myself through the steps the way the book outlines, right?
Right.
And then like, so finding a sponsor, like it wasn't really high on my priority list.
I see. Yeah.
And by the time like it was time to find a sponsor, I had worked the 12 steps and I was sponsoring. So I was like, well, shit. I mean, like, it never really came upon organically.
No, I see. Have you ever asked anybody?
Oh yeah, I mean, I obviously have a sponsor now.
No. But before, did you?
No. It just anything? I never really just found somebody that had what I wanted.
I see.
Then you know, and I don't recommend that to anybody that's like new with the program. But that's just the way it worked for me, and I want to be honest.
That's
you know
just how it happened to you.
You know, that's exactly. I just wanted to be honest, and that's just the way it happened for me. And so, like, I had this spiritual experience of the steps, and I'm, like, working a solid program. Like, I was doing the things, like, and we did exercises, like, bringing up character defects, pulling each other up, and working on them, contrary actions against these. Like, I learned the fundamental steps, you know. We went to step studies, you know. I was, like, I was involved.
Yes.
So, it's, like, it wasn't, like, I wasn't recovering. I mean, but could I have definitely benefited from the tutelage of a sponsor? 100%.
Of course.
But, you know, I fucking Mr. Ego here, fucking trying to do it his own way. You know? Well, that's just the reality, dude. Right. I was young in recovery. Like,
that's
I was
true,
like,
too.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And, like, not just young in age, but, like, young in my recovery, too.
Right.
You know? And I've evolved a lot since then, you know?
Right.
And so, like... Yeah, and I continued to work a program, and I was like kind of pseudo homeless. Like my parents kind of let me stay with them.
Oh, okay.
You know, and like let me borrow a car, and like all I would really do was drive it to meetings. Occasionally I'd work for my dad. He'd pay me some cash. I'd be able to buy gas and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
But like for the most part, like I was kind of pseudo homeless, you know what I mean? I would stay with friends down there, and like I would go to Pathfinders every day trying to get in,
because
like that was my plan. I was still trying to get into Pathfinders. Yeah. I was on probation. My probation officer wanted me to go there.
Okay.
And like I was like, cool, yeah, I'll do it. Like I was like gung ho for recovery still.
Yes.
And I was on that waiting list for like months, dude, months. Really? And other people below me on the waiting list were getting in.
So oh, that's
like,
fucked up.
It was a personality issue, you know, because I'm a little bit fucking crazy. Oh, especially back then. Oh. I was a little unhinged. You know?
Oh, man.
I started doing like odd jobs here and there. Yeah. And then next thing you know, like I was like working for my dad pretty much almost full time at this point. And then I got another job working for a company that like cleaned attics. It was horrible. It was like laborious and it was like really gnarly, but it was a job.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And I was like, dude, and I was just so grateful to have a job.
Like, right. You'll take anything.
Because fucking, I was like, I literally had like track marks still and shit. You know what I mean? Like, and
they took me. Thank you.
Exactly. And then, yeah, can I lick your boots, sir?
Seriously. You know? Right?
And like, I was like, hell yeah. And then like one of the electrical contractors that my dad had hired or whatever, because he's a general contractor. One of the electrical contractors that my dad was working with at the time, and he was like at the same bar that we went to, was like, what happened to your kid?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, he's cleaning attics now. And he's like, that fucking sucks. And so next thing you know, I get a call from him.
Okay.
And he offered to hire me, like, on the spot.
Oh, shit.
Dude. You know? And so I was like, well, shit, I might as well. Like, if I'm going to get a job. And, like, if I can stay here, I'll stay here. And if I can't, then I won't. Right? Yeah. And it was, like, doing solar and, like, other electrical shit.
Okay.
And honestly, that's the job I still have.
To this day?
To this day.
No shit.
Yeah. I literally, a job landed in my lap, and it's grown into the career that I have now.
Wow.
So, but that obviously evolved over time. Like, it didn't just happen overnight.
Right.
And I would say I got to about, I followed the rules, man. Uh-huh. I got to about a year and started dating someone in the rooms. You know
Fuck
what I mean?
Yeah. Like, hell yeah.
And and that was a really, she was in rehab, so it was perfect.
Oh, yes. Math made in heaven, dude.
I was not intentionally, like, I didn't even really know, I didn't understand what, like, 13th step was or any of that shit.
Yeah,
but, like,
yeah.
It just is what it is, you know? And,
well, how old were you? You were like, what, 24, 25?
25-ish.
Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? And she was grounded in her steps, and she had completed them.
Yeah.
And I was grounded in my steps, and I had completed them. She had like 8 months. I had a year.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So like, was it horrible? Sure, maybe. but honestly, we didn't really know any better. And like young fucking lovebirds, you know what I mean? And so like, we started dating, and like 2 months later we moved in together.
Right? Oh, like, yes, dude, I love it.
Right? And we got our own place, and it was good, dude, and it was good for several years. Like, and like in that time, like, my career blossomed and all these other things, and like, we developed this really good relationship. We got pets together, all these other things, and then I'd kind of dropped out of recovery. Like, I'd graduated.
You know what I mean?
Like, we all know how that goes.
Yeah, I did it as well.
Yeah. And I had kind of graduated from recovery for a little while. And really, we were just people that didn't get loaded anymore. Like, we weren't really in recovery. We just didn't get loaded anymore. Mm-hmm. And then she got a job in recovery, and she started working a program again.
Oh, really?
And she started noticing all the character defects that we were having.
Oh, I see.
And our relationship hurt from it, you know, because she was able to see all these things, and then I was just ignoring, because like, I was so career focused and all these other things.
Right.
And like, in that point, like, before all that, like, we had got engaged, like, we were going to be married. Oh, like, shit, it was, dude. We were together for a long time. No, you know, like,
how long, how many years?
Her and I were together for, at the time, I want to say like 4 years.
4 years.
Yeah, 4 or 5, something like that.
Shit, dude.
I mean, no, 4 years. We were together for 4 years, and like, I had asked her to marry me. It was like this whole cute fucking it was crazy.
It was a whole show.
It was a whole show. That's like what we do, you know?
Right.
And like, obviously, that was before it started kind of dissolving, and then our relationship kind of dissolved because I wasn't really involved in recovery. She was, and she started working a program, and like, she needed to have her space and blossom on her own, right? So like, we'd split up.
I see.
And like I got the cats, and then I got a roommate for a little while, and then that roommate like violently attacked my cats.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck that dude.
Yeah. It was pretty wild. And so like, I was like having trouble trusting people and stuff like that. So I like lived with my parents, and then like in the process of all that happening, she's like going through all this emotional turmoil in her life and everything else. And at one point, like, I still remember getting the call, and like we're like starting to develop like a meaningful friendship again.
Yeah,
I was and like about maybe to ask like that. The door wasn't shut. Like maybe we might end up together again.
Like you, it was kind of exploring the options of
rekindling that relationship. You know, because we were like I was getting involved in recovery, she was getting involved in recovery. I see. And then the next thing you know, she's all. I get a call from her boss, who happens to be a really, really close friend of mine.
Is this her boss in that works in the treatment center that she worked at? Okay.
And she had overdosed on fentanyl and died in the night.
Jesus.
Yeah. And that's just like...
Being clean. She was clean.
Yeah, she was clean for 5 years.
For 5 years.
Yeah. And this is like her first time really like getting loaded. Yeah. And it just took her out.
Jesus.
And it was just like this... like emotionally charged, tragic, tumultuous experience for me.
Yeah.
And it would have been a great excuse for me to go get loaded.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But instead I dived headfirst.
Mm.
You know? I got a sponsor. I dived headfirst into recovery.
Immediately you got a sponsor?
Not immediately, but like I was going to a lot of meetings and I was like looking.
Yeah.
I was actively looking. And you know, I did a thing where I got involved with a big group of recovery and we just did fun, sober shit all the time. That was our get down. Like, we're going to do fun, sober shit. And because I need to live. Like, if she doesn't get to live anymore, then I'm going to live for both of us.
Yeah.
You know, and that was kind of like my approach. You know, I want to love like she did. I want to live like she deserved to live.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And that was my get down. And I would say probably maybe... close to a year after she passed, I found my sponsor that I have now.
Okay. Yeah.
And we've worked the steps and we've worked the traditions and it's this phenomenal, wonderful experience, you know. And like even saying that, I've worked the steps multiple times without a sponsor too.
Right.
So
right,
it's
right.
Like, and I've like, oh, it's time for the fifth step. I'll find somebody to do a fifth step with. You know, exactly, like right, somebody right. that I know is fine to work a fifth step with. Right. You know, like I'm not stupid. Like I've been. In the program.
You're not doing a fifth step by yourself?
No. I've been doing the program long enough to know how this works. You know what I mean?
Right.
I was a purist, you know, in my thinking. And now it's like, I understand like the process of doing, of having a sponsor.
Yeah, and like the therapeutic value.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then so we're, I've just been like super, super involved. I've got, I've had sponsees that make it, sponsees that don't make it. I got one that's got 11 months.
Right on.
You know, I've got one who's a girl that has more time than me.
A girl.
Yeah.
Do I know her?
You do. You do. And it's just wild. It's wild because like I normally would never think to sponsor a girl, but she approached me and somehow the message of recovery that I have was something that resonated with her. So I asked my sponsor, I'm like, yo, dude, is this going to work?
Right.
I don't want to like, you know, I don't want to deny this person a recovery, you know, because of whatever fucking superstition that fucking the 12 steps have against male female sponsorship.
That's kind of all a little bit of bullshit.
It's a gray area.
It's a gray area.
You know what I mean? And we went for it, and thank God that we did because honestly, it's the fit is phenomenal.
Right.
Like literally, she's a phenomenal sponsee for me, and I'm a phenomenal sponsor for her.
Right.
And we would never have known had we not given it the chance, you know?
Right.
So like, if that's something you're on the fence with, like the main questions you got to ask yourself is like, are you guys physically attracted to each other? Because it's an intimate process.
Is this 13th
and you don't
want
to do it.
Yeah.
And you don't want to like put yourself in a position where either of you can be vulnerable like that.
Yeah.
Because, and like to be a threat, like, cause you are going to get vulnerable.
Yeah.
And you don't want it to become like, you don't want it to become romantically intimate.
Absolutely.
You know, because that's not cool.
Absolutely.
You know, because you're in a position of quote unquote power almost, they have to look up to you. Like the way a fucking, a sponsor sponsee relationship works is like, if I don't look up to you, this ain't going to work, you know? And it took, that's why, that's another reason why it took me so long to find a sponsor. Almost. Like, Like, I have to respect your program, dude. And absolutely. Like, I see a lot of people work a shitty ass fucking program, and I'm like, you know, I don't want this person to be my sponsor. Absolutely.
So, like, you could be 30 years.
My sponsor right now is like literally a fucking saint. It's like you read the 12 and 12, and it talks about the fucking the bleeding deacons and and the elder statesmen.
Right.
And my sponsor is a textbook elder statesman. You'll just sit there and nod and smile and then wait for him to ask you some stuff, and you'll be like, all right, yo, I'm gonna tell you my feedback. You know, and he's
not that elder too. That's what's funny.
Yeah, I know. But he is. He's like wise beyond his years for sure. He's fantastic. Yeah.
He's an old man in a young man body. Yeah.
It's crazy. And so I fucking absolutely adore him.
Yeah.
And in the process of going through steps with him and working a program with him have just been incredible, you know? And also working the steps with my other existing my other sponsees, it's just incredible. There's nothing that I can describe that's like what it's like watching the light turn on for someone else and then having them like experience recovery for the like, you're like, dude, this is wild, you know what I mean? Like I'm helping this guy save his own life, I'm helping this woman save her own life,
absolutely,
you know? And like for me, like that's the meat and potatoes, like, dude, the fucking dirtbag strung out heroin addict junkie convict piece of shit,
right?
And like come in
and use
all those elements of my life, right? The, that like this grieving like nightmare of a tumultuous human, and all the coolest, the most amazing thing that all this has given me is that those are all tools,
right?
And I can use all those elements of my life to help guide someone else through that hardship.
Yeah,
you know. So every time hardship happens in my life now, I'm like, hell yeah, growth, let's go. I know true. That it sucks now. I know that it sucks now, but it's not gonna stay suck forever.
Absolutely.
You know? And so every time I go through like this rocky hardship, I know that I'm in for a treat.
Right.
You know, there's a little sweet treat at the end that I get to experience. Absolutely, that. Absolutely, dude. And if anybody's listening to this and I could say like anything for you, like if you're an addict or you're an alcoholic, maybe try to do it on your own. And if you can't do it, maybe give this shit a try.
Wow.
And if you know, find your stride, you know, I definitely would encourage you to find something that works for you, you know, because there's a lot of different roads to Mecca, you know, and maybe 12-step recovery isn't for everyone.
Yeah.
But I can tell you that it definitely worked for me. And if my story resonated with you in any way, like, it's worth a shot. If the word God is turning you off, it's God just is just a three-letter word that literally means nothing. God is a group of drunks, you know?
Group of drunks, yeah.
Group of degenerates, the great outdoors, the gift of desperation, G-O-D, you know?
Yeah.
Don't put too much stock in it. It's not a religion.
Sky Daddy?
Yeah, Sky, whatever you want. I don't care, dude. Just the only thing that I was ever told that was super important about God is that it's not me.
It's not Rigel.
Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah.
I was ready, man. I was ready to pray to you right now.
Yeah. And don't do that. But I mean, yeah, this is a life is a gift, you know. Right. It really is. Life is a gift, and we go through a lot of trials and tribulations, and we go through a lot of like hope and humanity, and I'm really truly blessed today. I have relationships in my life that I absolutely adore. My family trusts me.
Yeah,
you know, I've got a pretty fucking solid career.
Yeah, dude.
You know, I do things that I enjoy. All the time.
Yeah, dude. You go to a lot of fucking shows and concerts and shit. Yeah,
I do a lot of things that I like to do, you know. I can take a vacation, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like I can do that stuff today because like I was given the gift of like a second chance.
Right.
You know what I mean? So Man, life is good.
And you're putting in the work to
for that maintenance. Life is good. Yeah, I mean, literally, dude, my entire schedule, like, it's funny, like, I have, like, my work schedule, and my work schedule is, like, solid, right?
Okay.
But, like, my free time schedule, it's like, recovery. It's crazy. Like, even you know, when you were trying to schedule me
I've been trying to get Rigel on forever.
Like, it's either I'm doing some recovery shit, or I'm going to a concert. Right. Yeah. And like I look at my calendar on my phone. I'm like, man, my life is full. Like, I have a full life, dude. And I like, so like recently, I recently got a girlfriend. Right.
Which is wild, right?
And like, damn, it's incredible because like my life is so full. We have to like schedule time to see each other, which is like, what a problem.
Right,
you know, like what a great problem to have. Like I have, like my life is so full that like when somebody new enters my life, like we gotta like figure out how we're gonna make this work. You know what I mean? We gotta figure out how to navigate like all these new blossoming things in life, dude. So it's like it's just really fucking, it's really cool, man.
Fuck yeah, dude.
So life is pretty good. You got any questions for me or anything?
Any more questions? I don't really think I have any questions, dude. Like honestly, I just wanted to just state that, man, like, I relate a lot to your story, dude, because I honestly feel like we pretty much lived the exact same lives and just, but maybe just a little bit of tiny differences, like a little, like, alternate universe.
Yeah.
But, like, seriously, dude, and, like, fucking, from the mess to, like, to the recovery, dude, like, because we obviously went to the same fucking rehabs, but, like, I also, you know, like, fell off and you know, try to be a graduate and shit. I denied myself of a sponsor for, I can't pinpoint the years, but it's like at least 7. At least. Right? Yeah. And, you know, because my first sponsor was more of a title. You know, I kind of just used him. And then,
yeah.
And I was like, okay, good. And then,
I mean, like, essentially, Big Book Rich was my sponsor.
Pretty much, you know what
I
mean? Dude.
Like, and then, like, I, like, kind of, like, just never found anybody.
Right.
But it's like, it doesn't mean that you're not like gonna gain recovery, but you're definitely like you're cutting yourself off.
Yeah, and that was my point. You know, when I finally got my sponsor, I asked somebody who I knew, who I respected, and I was like, "This is someone that does it." You know,
regardless of time too, because my sponsor actually technically
has less time than you.
He came clean about having like less time because he like had an honesty thing.
Yeah,
and dude, I like respected him 10 times more because of it. Yeah, but it's for me. Like
absolutely
sobriety recovery. It's not length of time. It's peace of mind, right? If somebody's got the peace of mind that I want, I'm going to go for that.
Yeah.
Way more than like, you can have 30 years and I don't give a shit about your 30 years. Cause if you're miserable, then I don't want it.
I know plenty of people like that.
Oh, me too.
That been clean and sober probably since I was born. And they are like, you know, just clicky pieces of shit.
you're like, damn, you're just gonna run with this, huh?
Yeah. That's wild. Okay, all right. So the wheels fall out.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's cool, I guess.
So yeah, you know, when I finally got my sponsor, man, I finally understood that relationship and I value it, man, so fucking much. And you know, I think was it last week? Yeah, just last week I had my first token from a sponsor and it was from him. And you know, the dude gave me a fucking cake too, like a giant. I'm like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with the whole, like a whole fucking Albertsons cake and shit?
Yeah, like get out of here.
I'm like, what the? Are you trying to kill me with all this?
Yeah.
But anyways, it's an amazing thing and a beautiful thing, dude. And fucking and another thing I just wanted to point out too, it's funny because you know we grew up in different parts of town. You know, I grew up here. Like, this is my neighborhood right here, and Rigel's from Poway. And it's pretty fucking wild though, like how you know, Rigel knows one of my buddies growing up, Justin, who passed away like 5 years ago from an overdose. And then Rigel knew my best friend Phil, who also passed away a couple years ago now, close to it now. Yeah. And I say this, right, is because Rigel, you know, is really aware of the severity of addiction and that this fucking, this disease is taking a lot of people, man. And like, especially with the fentanyl epidemic where people are just dropping like left and right. And, you know, Rigel's like kind of a prankster, but he takes his fucking recovery really fucking seriously, dude. And it's one thing I really admire about him. And I really appreciate everything that he does, dude, for people in the recovery community, man. Because I really truly believe that Rigel really makes a difference to a lot of people. And I appreciate you, dude. You know, yeah,
I appreciate you too, man.
Thanks, man. And dude, I definitely. Oh, how long have you been clean now? So you're now
April 5th, 2015. So I just recently celebrated 9 years.
Yeah. I had to do that one. But yeah, dude. I fucking appreciate you, man. And like, I like seeing your growth, dude. I'm really hoping, man, that, you know, I like here, it just makes me happy to see you succeed, dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It really goes like, wow, like this is fucking awesome. You know, we're two fucking straight up, don't give a fuck junkies.
Yeah.
You know,
and fucking with a couple of fucking W's, dude.
With a couple of W's, right?
What's up, dude? You know what I'm saying? Like, we come in with a couple of W's, like, what's up, dude?
Yeah,
like,
dude,
you've got over a fucking decade. I got fucking 9 years. I remember coming through the ranch and being like, wait, I'm like, wait, Luis? Like, fucking, like, because I remember when you came into the, when you came into Crash, you were strung out. You were skinny as fuck. Yeah, you had like a fucking, and I was like, oh, I like this guy. He's wearing a Motorhead shirt.
Yeah.
Like, hell yeah. I was like, this guy's the homie right here. Yeah. Dude. We're going to get along right away.
Right.
And you were strung out and skinny. And then like, I like went through the Freedom Ranch, and then like, and then Phil was talking about you at the Freedom Ranch. Yeah. Right. And he was like, yeah, he's got 2 years now. I'm like, shut the fuck up. Ain't nobody got no fucking 2 years that looked like that. And you did, dude. Sure as shit, you did. And you were involved. And like,
I was straight off the streets. I had fresh marks and everything.
Me too, man. It was a shit show, man. When I, like, I remember having fucking all the, like, remember my boss that I have now hiring me with track marks, like a total risk. You're like,
oh God.
He's like, we're going to go for it. We're going to go for it. I could probably get some kind of tax write off for this.
I gave this guy a chance.
You know what I mean? And then like, now I'm like one of his top guys. You know what I mean? It's like awesome, fucking crazy. Man. Like, just to think about that shit. Like, it is what it is, man. Like, we're fucking running the show for him and shit.
Yeah.
It's like fucking wild.
Fuck yeah, dude.
You know? So life is good, man.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I've been really, really, truly blessed with a fresh start,
right?
You know, and definitely didn't come without hardship. You know, there's a lot of really fucking rough shit in there.
Yeah.
But the reality is I wouldn't trade it for anything, you know?
Yeah. So absolutely, man.
Here we are.
Yeah, sir. Thank you for coming on again, bro.
Thanks a lot, man.
I love you, dude.
I love you too, man. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Goodbye, everyone.